Friends, in this chapter, we are going to discuss about the opportunities for investment by the residents into foreign companies, investment opportunity in foreign company. So naturally, when we see the foreign companies, means those companies which are established abroad and doing the business over there, what our people thinking of investment in their either equity or giving the guarantee or giving the loan or whatever it may be. Okay, that kind of investment opportunities are there. We have liberalized, our country is liberalizing the foreign outward remittances for the residents. Rules are framed in such a manner that even entities or individuals should not make the use of this facility of sending the foreign currency abroad by misutilizing the provisions made under the Foreign Exchange Management Act, FEMA. Considering that there is a large number of investment happening in foreign companies by the residents, which consist of the companies, partnership firms, individuals, and again the facility which is provided to the individuals under liberalized remittance scheme, that is LRS schemes. Okay, these schemes sometimes getting misutilized. So for that purpose, certain rules have been framed at initially. Certain limit have been fixed, annual limit. But despite all these things, and one important thing is that all outward remittances are purpose oriented. So without specifying the purpose, one cannot send any remittances outside the country. Investment is one of the purpose where there are several sub purposes. So that has to be very meticulously seen by the bankers, which are called as a designated bankers. So review has been taken place every now and then, every 2 years, 3 years, like that. And latest review was taken somewhere in August 2022, exactly 1 year prior to what we are discussing this. And new guidelines have been issued by the Reserve Bank of India, Government of India, for investment in foreign companies. We will take into consideration these new guidelines for our discussion, consisting of structuring this product in such a manner that these are some of the points. I will not waste my time in using this, but I am going to cover all these things, like various definitions, approvals, rights, then startup ODI, then pricing guidelines, transfer of liquidation. Then you can say overseas investment by person, overseas investment by individuals, or maybe by entities, reporting requirement, then designated banks, overseas investment, etc. There are these points which we are going to discuss. This is little bit a heavy chapter, but it is very interesting to understand what the regulation says and how it is controlled by the banks in India and how it helps to conserve the very scary foreign exchange for our country, right? So let us try to understand all these things together in this particular chapter. So investment in the foreign company is covered under the name called as overseas investment. Investment in foreign companies is nothing but it is an overseas investment by a person who is resident in India, okay, and the Indian entrepreneurs by providing a global opportunity for a growth. If that companies are growing, returns will be high, so inflow will be more, and that will help to increase our reserve also, foreign exchange reserve also. Now, ventures, foreign country ventures, though they are easy to access by using the technology, research and development, and wide global market, and reduce the cost of the capital, along with other benefits, increases the competitiveness of the Indian entities and boost their brand value also. These overseas investments are also important drivers for foreign trade and technology transfer, thus by boosting the domestic employment, investment, and the growth through the investment. Some of the significant changes brought about through the new rules which are framed by the Government of India and implemented through the Reserve Bank of India consist of, they have enhanced the clarity with respect of various definitions. Hitherto, what was happening till last year, the definitions were not provided. Or even if it is provided, there was an ambiguity in the definitions. Now it is clearly stated what is to be called what. Okay? Then, introduction of new concept, that is strategic sector. Now this is something new. Strategic sector means what? That is also explained. Then dispensing with the requirement of approval. Many times what happens, no? Within the given power, the authorized dealer bank, that is AD bank, used to approve all the investment proposals for the investors. Now, there are many restrictions were there, that is why the proposal was required to be sent to the Reserve Bank of India for their approval. Now, our Reserve Bank of India says that they have been dispensed with. That means more responsibility is passed down to the banks directly, where the investor is approaching them. So, this dispensing with the approval requirement is related to deferred payment of consideration, investment and the disinvestment by person resident India, then issuance of corporate guarantee to first and second level of subsidiary which is formed by that company which is at abroad, and write-off of an amount of disinvestment. Okay, introduction of late submission fee, because many times it so happens from the regulatory point of view, whatever remittance is going out or investment is happening abroad, that needs to be reported by the individual banks to the Reserve Bank of India in timely manner. But there are chances of the investor is not helping the banks to give the proper documents and reporting requirement. So as to complete the reporting requirement, they have to follow it up with the investors. Failure by the investors, not by the banks. Under such situation, if they submit the document for the purpose of reporting to Reserve Bank of India late, then there is a standard formula is prepared by the Reserve Bank of India, which is called as LSF, that is late submission fee. For that, late submission fee is charged to the customers, charged to the investors by the banks, by the Reserve Bank. And that amount directly goes to the Reserve Bank of India, not with the bank. So clarity, more cutthroat clarity is provided. So taking all these new things into consideration, let us try to understand right from the scratch, starting with understanding the definition. Now, foreign entity. What is meant by foreign entity? The entity which is formed or registered or incorporated outside India, including the entity which is functioning in International Financial Service Center, which is currently located at Ahmedabad, Gandhinagar, right? That is called foreign entity. Now, strategic sector. When you say that investment in the strategic sector, whenever there is an investment which includes the energy and natural resources sector, such as oil, gas, coal, mineral, as mineral ores, submarine cable system, startups, and any other sector or subsector as deemed fit by the central government is called as a strategic sector. This was not defined earlier also. Now, control. What do we mean by the control? Control means right to appoint the majority of the director. Right to appoint majority of the director to control the management or policy, take the policy decisions. That is covered under control. And subsidiary or step-down subsidiary, that is SDS, subsidiary of the foreign entity means an entity in which the foreign entity has a control. Foreign entity has control, and the structure of such a subsidiary or step-down subsidiary shall comply with the structural requirement of the foreign entity. So such a subsidiary or step-down subsidiary shall also have limited liabilities where the foreign entity's core activity is not in the strategic sector. That is called subsidiary. Now, overseas direct investment. This is usually we call it as ODI. But this ODI was earlier, it was considered as an overseas direct investment. That is investment in the foreign companies. But now it is getting bifurcated. Why? The meaning now they have defined for the overseas direct investment is acquisition of any unlisted equity capital. Acquisition of any unlisted equity capital as a part of memorandum of association of the foreign entity is called overseas direct investment acquisition. Second, investment in 10% or more of the paid up equity capital of listed foreign company. The foreign company is listed on the overseas stock exchange. Then 10% or more investment if it is happening, and for that if it is remittance is sent, then it is called as overseas direct investment. Further, the investment with the control, investment with the control where investment is less than 10%, investment is less than 10% of the paid up capital of a listed foreign entity, of listed foreign entity. Now, another definition is a financial commitment. What is meant by financial commitment? Up to what extent one can send the amount? That is the financial commitment. Financial commitment by a person resident in India means an aggregate amount of investment made by them by way of overseas direct investment, debt which is other than overseas portfolio investment, other than overseas portfolio investment, and non-fund based facility, that is guarantees, etc., or facilities extended by it to all foreign entities is called as a financial commitment. Indian entity may lend, invest in any debt instrument issued by the foreign entity, or it extends the non-fund based commitment to or on behalf of the foreign entity, including the overseas step-down subsidiary of such Indian entity, step-down subsidiary of such an Indian entity, and is subject to certain conditions. Now, this step-down subsidiary means what? Suppose India has invested, Indian entity has invested in one foreign company. That foreign company in their country or some different country other than India, if they have set up one more company, that is called subsidiary. And if that newly set up subsidiary has again set up another company in the same country or different country, excluding India, then it is called as a one down step down subsidiary. One down step down subsidiary. Now the conditions. Conditions for financial commitment in step down subsidiary consist of: the Indian entity is eligible to make the overseas direct investment. Indian entity has made overseas direct investment in the foreign entity, and Indian entity has acquired the control in foreign entity on or before the date of making such financial commitment. These are the conditions. If they are fulfilled, then the financial commitment can be permitted. Then overseas portfolio investment. One is a ODI, overseas direct investment, and second one is, because in overseas direct investment you see, but not including overseas portfolio investment, that is the word they have used. Then question comes, then what is overseas portfolio investment? The overseas portfolio investment means the investment other than overseas direct investment in foreign security. In foreign security. Then overseas portfolio investment shall not be made into any unlisted debt instrument. Unlisted debt instrument. Okay. Or any security which is issued by a person who is a resident in India who is not in IFSC, that is International Financial Service Center, or any derivatives unless otherwise permitted by the Reserve Bank of India, or overseas portfolio investment, or overseas portfolio investment shall not be made in any unlisted debt instrument, any security which is issued by the person resident in India, not in IFSC, any derivatives unless otherwise permitted by the Reserve Bank, any commodities including the bullion, deposit receipt, and overseas portfolio investment by a person resident in India in listed equity capital or a listed entity, even after delisting it, shall continue to be treated as an overseas portfolio investment until any further investment is made in the entity. A listed Indian company may make the overseas portfolio investment. Listed, the company who is listed on BSE or NSE, they can make an overseas portfolio investment, including by way of reinvestment. Reinvestment is a meaning that the OPI proceeds, overseas portfolio investment proceeds, are exempted from repatriation. That is, it need not be. Once it is invested, it is matured, the money should not come to India, but it can be reinvested there. As long as such proceeds are reinvested within the time specified for realization and repatriation. An unlisted Indian entity may make then overseas portfolio investment. The investment, including the sponsor contribution in the units of the investment fund overseas and duly regulated by the regulator for the financial sector in the host jurisdiction, shall be considered as overseas portfolio investment. Accordingly, any jurisdiction other than IFSC, that is International Financial Service Center, listed Indian companies and the resident individuals may make such an investment which is called as overseas portfolio investment, wherein IFSC, an unlisted Indian entity, may also make such OPI, that is overseas portfolio investment, in the units of investment in the fund or vehicle. Resident individual may make the overseas portfolio investment within an overall limit of liberalized remittance scheme. Now, what is this liberalized remittance scheme? In liberalized remittance scheme, resident individuals are permitted to send the remittances up to United States dollar, US dollar, or its equivalent, up to 250,000 during the year from April to March per person per year. That is the liberalized remittance scheme. So under this scheme, they are also permitted to send the remittances for overseas portfolio investment. And even employee stock option ownership, or likewise, they are permitted to invest into that security. Any investment made overseas in securities as stipulated by Security and Exchange Board of India, that is SEBI, mutual funds, venture capital funds, or alternate investment funds registered with the SEBI shall be considered as overseas portfolio investment. Now, permission for making the overseas investment. Overall, we have come out of the overseas portfolio investment. Now, another issue. Permission for making the overseas investment. A person who is a resident in India can make or transfer any investment or financial commitment outside India under the general permission, under automatic route, subject to the provision contained in overseas investment rules. Now, person intending to make any financial commitment will have to fill up the form FC, that is financial commitment form, duly supported by the requisite document, and approach the designated AD bank for making the investment remittances. Now, designated AD bank meaning is this: where bank through whom, bank's branch through whom the remittance is sent, and they should continue to send the remittances to the same branch of the bank as long as they are remitting or their life cycle of the overseas entity. That is called designated bank. Only from that bank or that branch you can send it, not through any other branch or bank. In respect of any cases under the approval route, the applicant shall approach to this designated branch and forward the proposal to Reserve Bank of India or Government of India. Application for overseas investment under approval route continue to be submitted to the Reserve Bank of India through designated AD bank. But before forwarding the proposal, there are certain document requirements which shall be submitted along with the proposal, which consist of background and brief details of the transaction, reason for seeking the approval mentioning the extent of FEMA provision, observation of the designated AD bank, which consists of prima facie viability of the foreign entity, benefits which may accrue to India through such an investment, and the financial position and the business track record of the Indian company as well as foreign company, and any other material observation if the bank has made. With their recommendation, it should go to the Reserve Bank of India. Recommendation of the designated bank with the confirmation that applicant's board resolution okay, from an equivalent body which is applicable for the proposed transaction is in place. Then diagrammatic representation of the organizational structure indicating its all subsidiaries of the Indian entity horizontally and vertically with their stake by the Indian company and status as of now has to be presented, and the valuation certificate for the foreign entity as well as other relevant document properly numbered, indexed and flagged. Okay, these are the documents which are required to submit to Reserve Bank of India. Now, approval from central government, RBI, and no objection certificate. Now, when approval from the central government is required for overseas investment, the application for overseas investment, financial commitment in the Pakistan other than and other jurisdiction may be advised by the central government. If investment happens in the Pakistan or any other country, you know, any other jurisdictions, okay, it requires the central government approval. AD Bank from their constituents to the Reserve Bank of India as per the laid down procedure. Approval from Reserve Bank of India, that is financial commitment by an Indian entity exceeding $1 billion or its equivalent. Then only in normal circumstances, up to $1 billion, AD Bank can approve the investment proposal. Beyond $1 million, along with the listed document, it should go to the Reserve Bank of India for its approval. Right? Then no objection certificate from the lender bank or regulatory body or investigative agency. Meaning of this is, if any person resident in India having an account appearing as non-performing asset, that is NPA account, but still that company wants to send the outward remittances and invest in the foreign company. If it is classified as a willful defaulter under NPA and is under investigation by the financial service sector regulators, investigative agency shall obtain the no objection certificate from the lender bank, regulatory body or investigating agency concerned before making the financial commitment or undertaking for disinvestment. Where an Indian entity is already issued a guarantee in accordance with the FEMA provision before investigation has begun, or account is classified as non-performing assets, willful defaulter, and subsequently it is required to honor such a contractual obligations and such remittances due to its invocation will not constitute a fresh financial commitment, and hence NOC shall not be required for the guarantees. Now, right issue and the bonus shares. A person who is a resident in India who has acquired a continue to hold the equity capital in a foreign entity in accordance with the overseas investment rules may acquire the equity capital through exercise of right or by way of bonus shares. Acquisition of equity capital through exercising such rights shall be reported in form FC, that is for foreign commitment, okay, financial commitment. When such a person does not exercise a right but renounce such a right in favor of any other person resident in India or a person resident outside India, such a renouncement shall not require to be reported. Further, the acquisition of the bonus share shall not be treated as a fresh financial commitment and will not require to be reported. Now, acquisition of the foreign entity through the bidding and tender process. during the process of the business, one company tried to acquire another company. That process is called as acquisition. Suppose if Indian company wants to acquire the foreign company by putting an investment in there, then AD Bank, whenever it is approached by an eligible person resident in India, allow the remittances towards the EMD, that is earnest money deposit, after obtaining form A2, that is control form, duly filled in, may be issued a bid bond guarantee, may issue bid bond guarantee on their behalf in participation of the bidding and tender process. On winning the bid, the same AD Bank can facilitate further remittances to the foreign entity so as to acquire, after obtaining the form FC, that is financial commitment form, duly filled in and report such financial commitment to Reserve Bank of India. AD Banks, while permitting such a kind of remittances towards the EMD, should advise to the Indian entity that in case they are not successful in the bid, they shall repatriate the amount of remittances. In case where such a person resident in India, after being successful in the bid or tender process and not to proceed further with the investment, the AD Bank shall ensure that bona fides of the transaction while permitting the invocation of the bid bond guarantee for forfeiture of EMD. Now let us understand something relating to the ODI in startup. Overseas direct investment in startup. Startup shall not be made out of funds borrowed from the others. Overseas direct investment in startup shall not be made out of the funds which are borrowed from others. So borrowed fund cannot be utilized for making investment in startup abroad. So AD Bank, before facilitating the transaction, shall obtain the necessary certificate with regard from the statutory auditor, chartered accountant of the Indian entity or investors. Now, acquisition or transfer by way of deferred payment. Deferred payments means longer duration payment. Bank shall verify the bona fides of the transaction from underlying agreement document in case of deferment of the payment for consideration. Period of deferment shall be defined upfront. In case the remittance towards the acquisition of the equity capital is to be made as a post-subscription to the Memorandum of Association, the period within which such a remittance is made shall be defined in underlying agreement, document or applicable laws, else the remittance shall be made on or before acquisition or setting up of the foreign entity. The part payment towards consideration deferred by the person resident in India shall be treated as non-fund-based financial commitment by such a person. Subsequent payment towards the deferred consideration shall be reported in form FC as conversion of non-fund-based financial commitment to equity. The valuation in accordance with the pricing guidelines issued by Reserve Bank of India. Now the mode of payment. The mode of payment by the person resident in India for making the overseas investment is by way of cash is not permitted. It should be routed through the same branch, can make the remittances to its office branch outside India only for the purpose of normal business operation of such a branch office. According to the remittances, shall be made by any Indian entity to its branch or office outside India for making an overseas investment. A person resident in India shall not make any payment on behalf of any foreign entity other than by way of financial commitment. Okay? And any investment and a financial commitment in Nepal and Bhutan shall be done only in Indian rupees as per the notification number FEMA 14R. All the dues which are receivable on investment or the financial commitment made freely convertible convertible currency as well as their sale or winding up of the proceeds are required to be repatriated to India.